welcome to episode 114 of
Brutal Battle.
Yeah, we got Mike Johnzak back in the heezy. It's been, I don't even know how long.
Too long.
It's been a while.
I think the IPA tournament was the last time I was on.
The Imperial IPA tournament, which I believe you took second place in.
Correct.
With the Ruin 10 by Stone.
I believe so, yep.
Sorry, spoiler for anyone who hasn't listened, but shame on you just listening.
That was out a while ago. You should have heard it already.
Yeah, it was some time back. So, but Mike, excited to have you here. We actually have a warm-up beer we're going to end up doing, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But first, I got to do hop knowledge. I guarantee you haven't heard of this hop, by the way, Mike. It's called Smaragd hop, the Smaragd, which translated, because that's German, means emerald. It is the emerald hop.
I have not. Now, does the hop itself officially come from Germany?
Yes.
Okay.
It comes from the Hop Research Institute in Hull, Germany. Smaragd is a recent addition to the infinitely large and perceivably small world of brewing Earth's nectar. That's what the text is. That's... Okay. The introduction of this hop came around the same time that opal and sapphire hops came about, which was about the turn of the century, which all of those are actually considered to be noble-like hops due to their low cohumulone contributions, apparently. This has woodsy, spicy flavor and herbaceous aromas. It's flowery and has a fruity fragrance, supposedly. It's apparently not found in all that many commercial beers, so... Honestly, I only have one example of a beer with Smaragd.
I've never heard of that hop before.
Actually, if I'm going to say it with that word, I should be like, Smaragd. Like, that's how Germans...
angry German accent.
Yeah, it's always so angry. It's so angry. Smaragd. So the example is by Bell's Brewery. So Bell's Brewery's Hop Solution actually has Smaragd in it. So there you have it.
Sounds like it'd be a good dry hop, like finishing hop.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. Well, those noble styles, man. So I'm going to end up reading a listener email that was sent in recently. That's an interesting one. Also, they did a rating and review on iTunes, and I'll go over that. But I think it's important that we start with this warm-up beer first, so that while I'm reading all this, Mike, you have something to sip on.
I won't argue with a warm-up beer. You know me.
As you shouldn't. As no one should, because that's where it's at. So what we got going on here today, I'm doing the Nelson IPA by Alpine Beer Company. They're out of Alpine, California, and if people remember, they were recently purchased by Green Flash, so hopefully they start getting some of that distribution, some of that sweet Green Flash distribution.
And I hate to go off topic here, but I'm watching him use one of the most ghetto bottle openers ever. It's
pretty much
a piece of wood with a magnet and a nail stuck into it.
Well, yeah.
Great invention, and it seemed to work really well.
Yeah, it does. That's the thing. When I first saw it, and I think we talked about it like one other time on the podcast. When I originally saw it, I was like, that thing? Like,
is this the end of a coat hanger?
No. It's so simplistic looking, but it works so well.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's my favorite bottle opener.
Where'd you get this?
Nathan and Erica Kolasnik, who have been on the show before, they got it for me for one of my birthdays.
Nice. Sorry to go off topic. I just had to say that real quick.
There you are, Mike.
Thank you.
Let's look at the color. The coloration of this beer is...
Nice straw yellow.
Yeah, and you can see through it. It's got a lot of bubbles coming up. It's got a very slight white head to it. Smell... Done with Nelson hops, obviously.
I get a very citrus style aroma off of it.
Grapefruity, very, very grapefruity. Got a little bit of a grassy aspect to it. It's got a little, like, slight bit of, like, a cat pee ammonia-ish on the end, which some...
You find that a lot with, especially those super hoppy style, the Stone Ruination, you'll find that with.
That's so vibrant on the nose. The nose is just so grapefruity and... There's a little bit of a grassy aspect, and smells outstanding. This is with Nelson Sauvin hops. A lot of people have talked about this beer, so I've been very excited to try it. Oh, by the way, thank you for this bottle, Carlos Guerrero. He's the person who sent it to me.
So. Thank you.
Thanks, Carlos. Hmm. So, Mike, you've taken a few sips. What are your thoughts on this beer?
Delicious. I expected it to be like more of a bitterness to it. It's a very smooth, easy drink in IPA.
Super smooth. And it kind of finishes a little honey to it.
A little sweetness.
Yeah, it's got a lot of the citrus aspect up front like you'd expect with, you know, the grapefruit in there. But then it kind of finishes like kind of sweet honey. And yeah, like you said, the bitterness, it's not crazy in there.
And I would be shocked if this is anywhere above 6-6.5% alcohol. But
yeah, I know. It tastes really low.
I have been surprised before.
7%. So yeah, but you know, it's like right there.
Higher than I expected.
This is very easy to sip as well. And the more I sip it too, it's got a little bit of an effervescent quality on it. You know, kind of extra bubbly, a little champagne-esque. Not quite as bubbly as that, but a little bit. Kind of tingles your tongue with some citrusy notes in there too. Very clean, light mouthfeel to it, which is nice. Very West Coast IPA.
I gotta say, I definitely enjoy the aroma more than the taste. Got a great taste profile to it, but for me, the aroma of this beer is really what kills it.
Well, and that's the thing with a lot of beers, especially I think West Coast beers. They're really good, but I think the aroma kind of outshines the flavor.
Yeah.
If you would take the aroma away, you'd taste it and be like, yeah, that's awesome. And it's still awesome, it's just that the aroma is even more awesome than the flavor, so you're just... get your hopes so high. That's a nice beer. I see why everyone likes it and everyone tries to trade for it and everything like that. So it's a good one. Thank you, Carlos. This is gonna be a nice sipping beer. Actually, it goes down pretty easy, so I'm gonna
say
not be
sipping,
so sipping.
Mine'll be going soon.
Right. We do need to make sure we leave a little bit for Rebecca because she would like to try it. So continue to sip, Mike, and I'm gonna go ahead and read this email. It was sent from, I believe I said, I hope I say his last name right. This is the way I see it being pronounced. From Colin Hikes, H-E-I-K-E-S. Colin sent an email, said, "Hi, Rebecca and Carlin. Absolutely love the podcast. You all do a fantastic job putting together an entertaining show each week. I found your pod about 2 months ago, and I've crushed through all the past episodes that are available on iTunes. I have some beers that I'd love to see on the pod as mystery beers, and I'd be happy to send some down if you can't get your hands on them. Let me know how I can go about doing this." And then Rebecca sent me the email back because she read it, took out the beer suggestions, and then sent the email to me.
You got a smart wife there.
Yeah. Because she went out and she was trying to get the beers. So, yeah. So he goes on to say, "I've also got some comments and suggestions for the show," which we're always open to on the show. Love it. "I'd love to see some beers from the early episodes go get another blind tasting." I think that's a valid point.
That's a good call.
I would like to see that as well. "It would be really interesting to see how robust the ratings are a couple years later, especially with different co-hosts, guests, and evolving tastes." Also a great point. "Maybe you could do a special throwback episode to reconsider some old entries blind again." That basically... basically, that's up to Rebecca, because she's the one who chooses the beers, so...
Oh, I know.
She'll have to...
She buys a lot of them from me.
Yeah. I know she said she comes in every now and then. It's like, "Mike, what should I do? Any recommendations? Let's do it." He says, "I also think you guys have some beer style confusion every once in a while, especially when it comes to the differences between bitterness, hop flavor, and alcohol levels in pale ales, IPAs, double IPAs, triple IPAs, and imperial IPAs." Good point.
But I think even the brewers get confused on that. Because with like wine, you have those regulations of what you can call something.
Right.
Beer worlds, that doesn't exactly exist. So right. A brewery could really make a pilsner, call it an IPA, and put it out there.
Well, they have the BJCP guidelines for styles, which is what their beers are judged on. But there are a lot of breweries that are just busting all the styles to hell, just saying, "We're going to call it this," or even making new styles up.
Black IPAs, white IPAs, Belgian IPAs. Yeah. Let's just tack on something to IPA and we'll make a new style.
Right, exactly. So there's a lot of that. But at the same time, you know, I've never said that I know a crap ton on the show. I've been learning along with a lot of people. So, you know, there's a lot for me to still learn, and I enjoy learning that from listeners. So I appreciate Colin's email. But I also think that we have some stuff that your common beer drinker wouldn't know either, so it's a medium thing. He says, "IBUs are a catch-all term for hoppiness, but really all IBU measures is how many hops of what potency were boiled for how long. And that's alpha acids and beta acids, he says. IBUs do not capture any other form of bitterness from other herbs or roasted malts. It's only a statement of how much hop oils made it into the beer. A complicating factor is that the oils from the hops actually saturate in the beer, making claims beyond 110 IBUs from a brewery rather specious. IBUs aren't generally a measured quantity the way alcohol content is, but are rather calculated from the brewing process. In the end, IBUs are a poor proxy for the amount of hops in a beer and for the flavors and aromas you can expect. I really got, and then he gives a good thread on Beer Advocate to take a look at. So if anyone wants to search it, how high can IBUs go is the name of the thread. So you can go to Beer Advocate and check that out. I've heard you say that certain IPAs should be called pale ales since they don't have much hop aroma or flavor. As far as styles go, the difference between pale ales and IPAs is not so much the level of bitterness, but rather the level of alcohol in the beer. The ratio of bitterness to sweet, malty flavors and the amount of hop flavor and aroma in a beer is also usually different, but stylistically and historically, the alcohol content is the important difference. The new category of session IPAs would generally actually be pale ales.
Oh, Mike, I was actually going to bring that up.
There you go. He's got it. Double IPAs, triple IPAs, and beyond are all types of Imperial IPA, with triple generally referring to a brewery adding even more alcohol. Classification is otherwise meaningless. You'll fool yourself if you think that breweries use the words Imperial and double with intentional distinction. Yeah, which I think we did talk about that on one episode, how Imperial and double are the same.
Yeah.
There's a distinction between a triple IPA and a triple IPA, though. Not a spelling error, he said. A triple IPA, such as that made by Brasserie de Chouf, example, Houblon Chouf, is a beer that starts as a Belgian triple and is highly hopped as if it were an American IPA. As with most things beer, there isn't really ever a firm line between similar styles. Beers like Dale's Pale Ale from Oscar Blues would actually be an IPA according to the BJCP style guidelines, despite their claim to be a pale ale. I think it's important to view beer styles from a historical context as opposed to defining styles based on current offerings. That turned into a much longer email than I was expecting. Thanks for your time, and as always, keep it brutal, Colin. First of all, Colin, thank you very much.
That was a very well-educated email. Yeah. Dude, he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, and that's what I appreciate. I appreciate when people send it in, and they obviously fill some gaps that we have on the show, yep. Because I'm not ashamed to
Nobody's
say...
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, I'm not ashamed to say I don't know it, and if somebody has that information and sends it in, awesome, we'll do it. And that's also why I like having other people on the show, because you never know what information they're going to bring with them. And I know people have said in the past, you know, people like Sean Creel, having him on, he knows a ton about beer stuff, so, you know. By the way, as this Nelson's warming up, it's tasting even more citrusy and robust. It's getting even better. I love it.
Yeah, it's almost one you want to let it, you don't want to drink it at fridge temperature. You want it more that cellar, that kind of like 48, 52 degree line, slight chill on it, but enough where you're not masking any of the flavors.
I get room temperature, but anyway, so, you know, we'll look into some more of getting further educated with, you know, kind of the things that Colin's talking about. But I also wanted to go ahead and read the iTunes review that Colin put in for us, because it was a very nice one. He said the same thing about, like, the level of knowledge, which is all good because it's true. And hopefully reading this will give people the push to go ahead and do the same, you know, leave a rating and review on iTunes. He entitled his Love the Blind Tasting. This podcast is supremely interesting due to the nature of the blind tasting. I think it's a unique take on the idea of a beer podcast, and their brutal take on things certainly shows their impartiality. As others have mentioned, there are many examples of beers that they pan during the blind tasting that they have mentioned liking previously, which can always be funny. I especially like their Decasode Brutal Battle Royales. While the general level of beer knowledge of the hosts isn't as high as other beer podcasters, they are learning along with their audience, which also has entertainment value. The blind tastings are what set this podcast apart. Which I agree, and that's the big thing for me when I started this. Is I was like, what is nobody doing beer podcast-wise? Nobody is tasting blind. Someone might do it like an episode here or there, and I was like, I just want to taste it blind because I don't want to know.
Exactly, yeah, because if you know who's making it, what it is, you can already put it in your head that, oh, I'm automatically going to like this, or I'm automatically going to hate it.
Right.
So your opinions definitely do become partial.
Yeah, and the other thing is this. You know, a lot of people will say, oh, well, I don't like how you tried this beer and you wanted it to have more hops, and it was an English-style IPA, so it's just not going to have it, so you slammed it unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because I didn't know, and that's another reason I like doing the blind tasting. Hey. I don't want to know what the style is. I don't want to know what to expect.
I
want to
rate it for what it is, that I'm drinking.
I want to rate it for what the taste is, regardless of style. Now, that said, there will be times where I'm like, I feel like it's going to be this style, so I'll kind of subconsciously be looking for certain notes, and that might play into it, but I try not to do that.
You also always have to remember, what I might like or what I might absolutely hate, somebody else might absolutely love or hate. So
exactly.
It's all personal tastes and opinions that we're spitting out.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is, you know, if you don't agree with what you're hearing, you know, it's my opinion, it's the co-host's opinion, and that's just... You know, you can listen to it, you can not listen to it. This is mainly just for entertainment purposes. And anytime we rate beers, it's based on our personal, you know, taste. So, whatever. But based on that personal taste comment, Mike, is there anything you've had recently that you've really been enjoying?
I hate to see the double cannon disappear in six packs. Heavy Seas made a double cannon, a bigger brother to their loose cannon IPA, which was exceptionally, exceptionally good. I single-handedly took down 2 6 kegs at my house.
Okay, so I'm assuming you like that then.
Just a little bit, just a little bit.
Well, that makes sense. I haven't had that one yet.
Oh, it is delicious.
I picked up a bottle a month ago, maybe a month and a half or something, and I'm meaning to get to it.
Yeah, I'm talking with Hugh Sisson, the owner-founder of Heavy Seas. Next year, it got such a well response, they're going to be making the double cannon year-round, from what he's saying.
Nice.
Which I cannot wait.
I like to hear that because for a while, they were not putting out a whole lot of different stuff.
No, they were very on a one-track minded. These are our core brands. These are our seasonals. Every so often you'd see like a limited release 22-ounce bottle coming from them or a keg coming from them. But now they're stepping with their Uncharted series. They're really expanding their horizon and getting into the other beers.
Well, I was blown away because for the longest time they didn't have anything new coming out. And then all of a sudden for 2015 I saw that they had... They announced like something like 8-9 new beers in the calendar year, and I was like, to go from nothing for years to that many in 1 year is just crazy.
The Blackbeard's Breakfast
sounds good.
It is delicious.
Wait, what is it again?
I want to say it's a bourbon barrel aged. It's a porter.
Is it like a coffee added or anything?
I don't believe so. There are coffee notes from the roasted malt that I had picked up, but I don't believe they actually put coffee in it. Now, I already had several beers by the time I made it to that one, so my memory gets a little hazy depending on how many beers goes in my system.
Yeah, that happens. So other than that, are there any other beers that you've really been enjoying?
Nothing really new, just the standards, like Terrapin Rec Ale, I always drink a lot of that. Anything from Stone, the new Ruination V2, if you haven't had that.
Know about your love for Stone.
Yeah, they are actually in the process of discontinuing the Ruination the Pale Ale, and they've come out with Ruination V2 and Pale Ale V2, which are going to replace it. Both of those are solid, solid beers. The Ruination V2... It gets much more of a citrusy kind of piney note rather than the old Ruination. And the Pale Ale, it's almost a completely different beer that they switched up. It is crazy.
I will say recently I tried their chai-spiced Russian Imperial Stout. Not a fan.
I love their Russian Imperial Stout.
It is a good stout.
But yeah, when you start putting weird things, like I'm not a chai tea drinker, right. I'm not a coffee drinker, I'm a beer whiskey drinker. So when I saw that, I was like, I'll save that for somebody more deserving.
Well, my issue was the same issue I had with their Shoko Bezo, which is the spices are, it's so much.
Yeah.
They put so much of the spice in there that it's just, it overwhelms me. Rebecca liked it I think she did think it was a little too much, but she liked it more than I did. And I was just kind of like, I can't drink it again.
It was like the
much.
Ballast Point Sculpin with the habanero. Like,
yeah.
It up front, I got no heat. As soon as I swallowed, all the heat came on my sides and the back of my tongue, and it lit my mouth on fire. Not pleasant. But then Carlin told me, 50-50 blend, half grapefruit, half habanero. Pretty damn tasty.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's why it's cool to be able to blend your own beers, when you think of it. I will say, at the same time I tried that chai-spiced Russian Imperial Stout by Stone, I tried the Trung Latte by Pizza Boy, and that was awesome. That was like a coffee, milk, chocolatey stout that was super tasty.
Interesting.
The coffee was so well done in it. Because, you know, sometimes you get kind of like a very acrid type flavor to the coffee that it's like it's been sitting.
It's almost like a metallic coffee flavor or something. Yeah.
It's real acidic and just but that was awesome. That was a good one. Trung Latte. And at the same time I also had the you would not like this, I'm sure. Blood Orange Goza by Anderson.
Oh, nope. I tried to drink one of those. Sours. I got maybe through a quarter of the can.
Yeah.
When I was like, no, I can understand how somebody likes this as a Goza drinker, a sour beer drinker, but I am nowhere near a sour beer drinker. So literally, I don't understand the point of taking a sip and then puckering my lips like I just had an atomic warhead. Like,
there is an appeal to it. At first, I didn't see it, but now I do. But I will say, I haven't had anything by Anderson Valley that I enjoyed until that beer. And I will say, I think that was a really well-done beer.
From what I'm not a big fan of the brewery, but from the past couple ones I've had of them, they are definitely stepping up their game. Like another brewery, Star Hill. I want to say they're out of Virginia.
That's another one I haven't liked any of their
Revisit them. I All just right. learned I'll, out because I had discontinued them from my store. I was adamantly against them. Then my sales rep comes in with a couple sample bottles. He's like, Mike, I know your thoughts on this. They had a self-proclaimed home brewer as their head brewer. They have since let him go. They now actually have a real brewer working there. He tweaked all the recipes. Let's sit down and give the beers a try. So I'm like, you know what? Huh. Let's do it. And I got to say, I was thoroughly impressed with the new quality of what they're pushing. So I was like, all right, we'll give them another chance.
All right, well, on your recommendation, I will give them another chance then. Star Hill, you're back on the list. And that is another thing to just know is breweries change. And I know recently Otter Creek did that, maybe two years ago.
And their beers have become phenomenal. Quite good,
yeah. Like their Citra Mantra, love it.
Yes.
Anyway, it's about that time, so mystery beers, man.
All right.
Let's get to these mystery beers.
We got A and B. And I've already snuck a little aromas of them, so I kind of have some thoughts on what's what.
Coloration right off the bat, to just get it out of the way, A is very amber orange, and doesn't have much of any head to it, see-through. B, also see-through, very yellowy, almost looks like the...
There's definitely some sediment and clouds floating around
there. Yeah, there's some sediment to it.
It's not the most unfiltered beer I've ever had.
There's a bit of a head to it as well.
Definitely has a Belgian smell to it.
It looks like a bit of an uneven type head, which might say to me... Brettanomyces. I don't know. But we'll see. That's just looking at it. So, I haven't smelled it yet. But let's go ahead and start smelling A, see what kind of aromas. Oh, citrusy aspect.
It's almost like a candied citrus, too.
Yeah. Yeah, like some sugar on...
Like caramelized sugar or something?
Yeah, definitely. Well, that'd probably be from a more present caramel malt to the beer, which is nice. Oh, man, the citrus is... A little grapefruity, a little peachy, a little apricot in there. It smells really good. And then the caramelly aspect on the end is very well rounded.
Got a good clean taste, mild bitterness.
Smell a little bit, I'm still smelling, smell a little Smarties type aspect. The candied Smarties, a little sugary citrus.
Oh, those little powder things, yes.
All right, well, you've already tasted, you can go ahead and talk about what you've tasted. I'm going to go in for a sip.
I was about to say, I'm still working on my second sip.
There's a little bit more of like a piney aspect to it, which I wasn't really picking up on in the nose.
The malt really balances out with the hops, though. Like, I get a hoppy bitterness there. But it's not overwhelming at all. It's just a little bit on the sides of the tongue. Do you feel that hop bite?
Yeah, I get more bitterness than I was expecting. But I'm getting a decent amount of that caramelly malt aspect, too, to round it out. And that I think that goes pretty well with the pine aspects. This is another another situation where I kind of wanted, I wanted exactly what the aroma was telling me was going to be there, which is some of that kind of like peach aspect and the apricot and, you know, things like that. But I'm getting a little bit of that, but I want kind of a little more. I'm getting a little of that Smarties flavor, like I was getting the aroma of.
Oh, I definitely, expect if you put a little in your mouth and swish it around, I seriously got the Smarties flavor.
Okay,
there.
Yeah. Yeah, I just did that. It's a little floral, too, now that I'm rolling it around in my mouth. It's got this floral aspect to it, like actually potpourri-ish.
It has a heavier body, too, from your average, like, it's not like drinking a Pilsner or a lager with that light, easy crushableness. It has some good feel to it.
Yeah, the body's more of like a medium, heavy medium. Like, it's not like dead medium. It's a little heavier than like a straight up medium. So it kind of coats your mouth a little bit after that. You feel like you might have to chew a little bit off the sides of your mouth after the fact, which isn't a bad thing. I actually like that quality in my IPAs, Imperials, which I'm assuming it's something like that.
I was thinking double IPA myself.
Double Imperial, same thing. But it's, I wouldn't say this, it's like my favorite, but that's not bad.
Definitely drinkable. I'd drink one any day of the week with somebody handed it to me.
All right, yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to leave that one. Very hop oil-esque, by the way. Like, how kind of the Hop Hunter IPA by Sierra Nevada, the way
actually,
it smells.
I was disappointed in that one. It was a good beer. I enjoyed drinking it, but with the name and supposedly the process they used to get the hop oils out, I expected so much more of a hop presence and bite out of it. Once again, I'd drink that beer any day of the week if it was handed to me.
It's pretty good.
But I expected more.
For me, it was more of a situation of if I want a very, very light, clean body, but I want a quick flavor of, like, a nice hoppiness, because it dissipates really fast.
That is true.
But I see a place for it. Okay, so B, it smells very...
Belgian-y.
Yeah, Belgian-y, weedy. It's got that little bit of banana.
The cloves.
Clove, coriander, orange peel aspect.
And just, like, the head, the color... The kind of slightly unfiltered look, to me, it just screams almost like a wheat-based Hefeweizen.
It's got a bit of like a kind of funky nose to it. Like, it might be kind of Brettanomyces-ish, or it's just the extreme bitterness coming through. But it's got like a tart snap on the nose, and then a very significant bitterness. And that banana just keeps coming through.
And it comes through during the taste.
Does it? Okay. Yeah, getting the banana, the clove, coriander. Basically, everything I was getting in the nose, I'm getting it in the flavor.
It's not bad. And I don't say this in a bad way, because it's not a bad flavor profile, but like a musty, dirty flavor in there almost that kind of like brings it down to the ground.
Yeah, a little earthy aspect to it.
See, he tries to church himself up and say earthy. I just go... dirty.
Just like sticking actual dirt in your mouth. Which, usually that kind of funky, dirty aspect would be like a Brettanomyces type thing, but if there is any in this, it's very, very, very slight. I can't necessarily say that that's really what's going on. But, flavors are coming together alright. I'm really liking how the orange peel aspect is growing in it as I keep taking more and more sips. The banana is starting to kind of go to diminish a little bit more, and that orange is passing.
That last one, I even got a little cinnamon on it.
That's probably like the clove aspect to it.
On a hot summer day, I could drink this. Bad. I don't think it would be one that I'd go out and look for. But on a hot summer day, standing outside in the sun, this is a refreshing beer.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. Pretty decent. That makes me... Okay. Now, after drinking that, and I went back to A, and I took a sniff of A, it smells like a fruit roll-up. Kind of smells like a fruit roll-up.
Oh, my God!
Doesn't it? Like a strawberry fruit roll-up. Really weird.
takes me back to like my middle school days when I had the fruit roll-ups and the gushers in my lunchbox.
Then now, tasting it, I can taste a little bit of like a strawberry fruit roll-up aspect too. It's weird. And that's why it's so interesting when you taste one beer and then you taste another. And then you go back and you switch it up. They can bring different things out.
Pair off of each other or go completely against each other.
Right.
Like, I was thinking when we first did this, I'm like, well, we should have probably started with B, then go on to A.
But whatever. It's cool. I'm cool with both of these beers. This is tough.
See, for my personal taste, I'm going A all the way.
Right. I like both of them, and I'm having a really hard time trying to figure out which to go higher. Neither of these are going to get, like, crazy marks for me, but they're pretty drinkable and tasty. Do you know where you want to rate these suckers?
We're doing on a scale of 1 to 5, right?
10.
10? Okay, we're going 10.
1 to 10, but...
It's been a while I've been on here. I can't remember the full numbers.
Let me give you the disclaimer. You can rate it however you want to, and people certainly have done that in the past. But typically, kind of what we do, like a 3 would be kind of like a 5. Like Kyle Norman basically says, in real life, your ratings I would give 2 higher.
Yeah,
is kind of what he says. I know some people who have said 3 actually, but typically on the show, it's for me the way I rate. It's 2 is like, that's not all that great, but it's not the worst. 3 is. That's not bad. I could drink it. 4 is a little higher than that, and so on. With, you know, the highest beers being at 7s at the moment. So, do you have ideas?
I would probably go for about a 5.5 for A. One, I would...
Can't do points.
Oh, anything. You're killing me. What do you mean I can't do points?
Well, that's why it's out of 10. Because you think, like, on tap, they have out of 5, but it's points. So basically
they changed it where you can do like a quarter bottle cap, a half a bottle cap.
Oh, really?
Yep. They changed it when like the last update or 2 updates ago.
Okay. Interesting. But,
okay, I'll play along. I'll go a 5. One I would pay money and drink, but one I really wouldn't go out and search for.
So you're doing 5 on A?
Yep.
Okay. Got it.
Now, like, B, I'm not a big fan of the whole Belgian-y, clovey, banana style flavors, so for my personal rating, I'd go probably about a 2. Okay. One I would drink if it was handed to me, but one I would not spend my own money on.
I like a lot of like the fruit roll-up-y aspect that's kind of coming through in A. The bitterness is a little more than I kind of want out of A, but it's not really inappropriate or anything. The pininess is starting to overpower the citrusy aspect just a little bit. It's pretty solid, though. I could continue. I will finish it. I would drink it again.
Oh, mine's almost gone already.
I think I'll actually go a 4 on A. With B, I think... I'm usually not big on Wheat's Belgians, whatever.
Well, we don't even know it's that. We're just guessing.
Well, those flavor profiles.
Yep.
And it's definitely that type of flavor profile for me. There's a little bit of an astringency... that coming through in the end of this, the more I drink it, that's a tad bit out of kilter for me. But other than that, I think the flavor is pretty solid. I think I'm going to give it a 3. Which is not bad, in my opinion.
So for about your average person, be about a 5.
Yeah. So, obviously, A is the winner overall with a 4.5 average, and B with a 2.5.
Oh, now you're throwing the points in.
Well, when it gets averaged together, that's what happens, Mike. Anyway, I think I like the Nelson most, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you. And I just want to point it out there. I have one empty glass, about to have 2 empty glasses in front of me, shortly a third, and he's still got almost half of his glasses
this
left.
This is exactly what happened the last time you came on as co-host, is you were just like nailing through them. And it's like I said
before. I drink a lot of beer.
Well, that you're well-practiced. But also... When I'm hosting, you got to stay on top of things, so I don't have as much time.
And you do a whole lot more talking than I do. I'd do the occasional chime in, put my opinion in. You got to do the whole orchestrating.
It's a lot of work, man.
Oh.
But it's good that I'm drinking beers while I do it, because...
Cheers to that kind of work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I wish I was getting paid, but yeah, it's a good hobby. All right, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and reveal B first.
The loser
of the episode, but not really a loser because 2.5 is not terrible, even though it sounds like it is.
2.5 out of 10. Still a good rating.
And actually, it's been noted that this beer was one that listener Colin Hikes wanted on the show.
Nice.
He recommended this, and Rebecca went and found it. She let me know.
Sorry, that. I did not like it.
I was okay with it. It is. Oh.
Oh! Tanks. I'm actually surprised about that, because that's one of the few farmhouse ales I can enjoy to drink.
It is.
So, wow.
The Tank 7.
Thank you for proving me wrong.
Tank 7 Farmhouse Ale by Boulevard Brewing Company out of Kansas City, Missouri. 8.5% alcohol by volume. I do think it tastes like 8.5. Yeah, so not
see,
bad.
I'll disagree with you on the tasting like 8.5. I would
taste less or more.
Less.
Less, really? I think it tastes like
I drink a lot of big beers, the double IPAs, the barley wines. But for a farmhouse saison to get that kind of alcohol presence, I would have expected a whole lot more of an alcohol bite on the back end. And that actually kind of bothers me that I talk trashed about that beer, and of a sudden I saw what it was. I was like, oh man, I actually like that beer. I drink that on the occasion.
Yeah, it's not a bad one. It gets sweeter as I drink it, too. All right, well, you ready for A? A, the winner.
Bring it on.
Overall, 4.5. Is this one you think you'd buy?
I would buy it.
Yeah,
probably.
I can see myself buying it.
As long as it's not a Coors Light. But I don't think that was a Coors Light from drinking it.
No. It is.
Oh, the Double Cannon!
Actually, one I did buy. It's the Double Cannon by Heavy Seas.
I was just talking about him earlier.
Well, would you look at that? You talked about it on the show. Now, this happens all the time on this show.
Most of my Double Cannon that I was drinking was off of a keg. Tasted different from a bottle.
Right.
Like I said, 2 1.6 kegs went down at my house.
Oh, now the backpedaling.
That was the one I picked the most that I would pay for and actually spend my own money to drink.
That's solid. A 9.5% alcohol?
Yeah.
Are you kidding
me? No, it's a big
okay.
Yeah. And by the way, having that on draft at your house can get extremely dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's very impressive. 9.5. That tastes like 7.
Yeah.
That tastes like 7. Are you kidding me?
It's a very drinkable, high octane beer.
Jeez, man. Well, that's probably where that extra body's coming from it, is that, you know, extra alcohol. Damn, that's interesting. And once again, this happens all the time on the show. We talk about something in the beginning, then we do mystery beers, and it ties into the beer somehow. It's very odd. I wouldn't quite call it a curse, but I don't know. Is it divine beer intervention?
Possibly.
Anyway, very interesting. Yeah, some decent beers. I'll finish all these. I'm going to keep sipping on this Nelson, though, too.
I'm already almost done all three of mine.
Well, Mike, you're going to be around for at least 2 more episodes, so...
Correct.
People stay tuned. We got some interesting stuff coming up. And who knows, mystery beer-wise, we don't even. But, awesomeness, and thanks for being on, Mike.
My pleasure.
See you for the next
Always
year.
A good time.
Colin, thank you for making some beer suggestions. And anyone else out there, if you're listening, if you want to make some beer suggestions, you can send in an email to brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. And let us know. Also, if you want to be cool like Colin and you want to give us some really great support, you can give us a rating and review on iTunes. So that would be great. But also just spread the word. You know, if you listen to the podcast, you don't want to put in all the time of actually typing some things and sending them in. You can just say to someone, hey, there's this fun podcast I listen to called Brutal Battle. That helps a lot.
Drink a beer, put it on and listen. What more could you want?
I know. Well, and I'll tell you the other thing. The biggest compliment to me, and I've heard it a few times, always makes me feel so good, is when people say, I can't listen to your podcast at work because it makes me want to drink a beer. And I'm just like, that makes me feel so good because that means we're doing a good job describing it. So, yeah. But anyway, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Mike, for being on. And everybody, remember to keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.